Blog Talk Radio.
Myself as well, going through it with my son, and it's very hard
to watch someone you love, you know, throw their lives away and refuse to get the help. And especially when it's mental health that's involved, a lot of them self-medicate and everything. But we're going to get into all that and the topics and everything too. So, but anyhow, so Russell, if you're listening, do call in and everything. I do got some chat rooms open. So if you guys want to chat, hop on into the chat room. And also, I'm going to make an announcement towards the end of the show. We got a huge guest coming on the show sometime this week. And everything. And also, we're going to have Matt McGregor, Jonathan Garcia coming on the show Friday night. Jonathan Garcia is running for governor. That's in Atlanta, Georgia. And we also got Matt McGregor running for lieutenant governor up in Georgia. So anyway, tune in Friday night for that and everything. So just sit back. Hey, Russ Virgil, how you doing, brother? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I'm still driving. I ain't been able to pull over yet. But y'all go ahead.
Well, Russell hasn't called in yet. And I was telling everybody, you know, the radio station and myself, we can send our condolences to you and your family on your loss of your grandson. And, you know, drug addiction doesn't just affect the person doing the drug. It affects everybody in the family. And I know because I'm going through it myself with my son, who's into drugs and stuff. And, you know, it's rough, Virgil. It's very rough. A lot of people I talk to are suffering the same things that we're going through. But go ahead.
It is. It was a kick in the gut when we got the news. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's still kind of in shock and awe about it. But the thing is, you know, even his own mother said each and every day that she was expecting a call. She was expecting a call, you know, mm-hmm. And out of grief, I guess, out of grief and pain, she's looking for someone or something to blame. She's taking it out on me. She's taking it out on a lot of other people. But reality's going to set in. You know, she doesn't want to cremate her son. She wants to have a funeral. But the funeral home wants the money in advance, $8,700 and something. And they're trying to look for financing. I can't help them out. I'm not co-signing for it to the finance company or anything.
Right.
I'm sorry. You know, that makes me an asshole. Well, then I'm just a walking, talking rectum. But,
right.
You know, for a 31-year-old man,
because
for a 31-year-old man who's got the option to say no, you know, it's sad. It shouldn't happen. You know, if this country would get serious and seriously want to stop these vermin, these scumbags, these just degenerate evil people who want to cause urban decay, who want to destroy families, and who out and out want to deal in death every day on the streets of America, America could stop it. Because if we can take a laptop computer from an office and activate an $11 million Extaset missile and send that son of a bitch some 50,000 miles away to bumfuckistan, Egypt, or wherever, and shove it up a terrorist's ass, there is no way in hell you're going to convince me that this country cannot stop that poison from being manufactured or imported into this country. You're not going to tell me that.
And they can, Virgil. And the thing is, that's why Biden and his party wants to open borders. Because that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. A lot of the deaths are caused by fentanyl. I lost a very good friend of mine, as you know, a couple years ago through fentanyl. You lost your grandson through fentanyl. one of the most leading causes of death in drugs is laced with fentanyl. And it don't take very much. It takes a little bit.
It's not only that, Joseph. What they're doing now, they have this new thing called Pink Panther. And what it is, it's a pink colored methamphetamine that they're mixing with the fentanyl with. It's called Pink Panther. And that's what he OD'd on. This stuff makes rat poison look like Sweet and Low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pure poison. It's going to kill you. It's no different. You'll have a better chance picking somebody out, putting a table in your front yard, and playing Russian roulette. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe it, I'll get Carmelita on the phone, Chiro herself, and she will tell you what she's going through is the same thing that we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff murdered her daughter, and that's what it is. It's plain and simple. It's murder. It's and her son, and it's just death. It's just death in a little teeny plastic bag.
And you're not only going to kill yourself,
you're going to destroy your family. You know, and
exactly.
for the adults that are doing this that have children, you know. You're sentencing them to death. You're worse than an abortion clinic. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well, if you're gonna keep on using this stuff, well, you might as well just go on and cut your kids' throats right now and get it over with. This stuff is death. This stuff is death.
Yep.
It is death without the pale horse. It is death. And guaranteed hell is going to follow with you. And I guarantee you hell is going to follow with it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, brother, I'm going through it with my own son. He's 22 years old. We've all helped him. They refuse to help knowing they need it and everything. And it does cause mental problems. This drugs eat your brains. It does more than kill you. Eat your brains too, and everything. And I have dear close friends of mine that try to help him. He refuses to help and everything. And like you and like Carmelita, I'm just waiting for the phone call. It makes me sound bad, but you know, what else can you do? You can't do anything.
There's nothing more you can do. If they don't want help,
and
you know they're. You know, I mean, it's it's insanity. Insanity.
Yeah, it is. I 100%. I mean, you know, it's like I told my friend. I mean, she's helped me raise him since he was little, and I told her friend, my friend and her husband, you've done all you can. My hat's off to Johnny. I mean, Johnny's done. He's done a lot. He's done more than what anybody could. But the thing is, you can't do anymore. You got to say, you know, it destroys life. These drug dealers don't care if you're pregnant. They don't care if you're 2 years old. They will sell it to you.
You see?
They don't care.
We're supposed to be having this war on drugs. Okay, this war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any war taking place. I don't see it at all.
Nope.
Because if it was a real war, when you catch these son of a bitches doing this shit, selling this shit, you don't coddle them by giving them a lawyer. You don't coddle them by putting them by putting them in jail and letting them watch cable TV and having homosexual relationships with punks and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You put them in a POW camp and you keep them there till the goddamn war's over.
Or you take it in your own hands and you do something about it. I've done it. I'm not going to say what I did.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, brother, and I don't care. I don't care who calls the cops, the FBI, the Secret
mm-hmm.
Service. I don't care who you call. Right now,
mm-hmm.
I am ready and fit to kill every son of a bitch
mm-hmm.
I see selling this stuff, no matter
mm-hmm.
what it is.
Well, I know. Hey, Russell, how you doing, brother?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. What are you talking about, Virgil? Selling what?
The drugs.
The motherfucker.
I don't know if you heard.
That's selling these drugs.
I mean, we're seeing big time. We're seeing it here in New Mexico big time because of the border. And like I was telling Roger earlier today, they have caught, they're catching it by the tons coming into the borders through these so-called migrants. They caught, there was like 7 or 8 pounds of meth caught yesterday disguised
you know,
as burritos.
I mean, it's Easter weekend.
I mean, you know,
I'm supposed to be Easter egg hunting with my grandkids, you know, getting them fat on
mm-hmm.
candy, getting them all hyped up, giving them sugar rushes and all of this shit. But no, what
mm-hmm.
am I doing Easter weekend? I'm looking at fucking casket catalogs because my oldest grandson decided to fucking OD.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
know? Virgil.
It's a drug called Pink Panther. It's meth and fentanyl.
Oh my God.
Yep. That's what my best friend died from.
Got his stimulus check. Got his stimulus check
mm-hmm.
in. Left the house. Went and bought a cheap ass fucking prepaid phone. Got in touch with that little fucking gold digging crackheaded whore down in Livingston. Had her come pick him up. And they went and blew the rest of it on dope. And he was laying in the bed on the mattress on the floor. I didn't get the whole story. But she went to wake his ass up the next morning. And he was deader than fried chicken.
In Livingston,
that's what that's the...
Livingston, Louisiana.
Okay.
The meth capital of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
The same place that sorry ass fucking sheriff's department let that sheriff's deputy pedophile and his wife rape all them kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was a member of the sheriff's office on the SWAT team.
Mm-hmm. And I feel you, brother, because, you know, I get my ass eat all the time by family members because they're saying I don't help my son. It's like, what can you do? You can't do anymore. I love my son. I love him to death. Don't want to see any of this happen to him. But whenever he refuses to help, you know, and everything, I can't
well,
even
you
say
see,
live
felt,
with
I
me
felt the same way.
Because he beats me up.
I felt the same way about Travis. I felt the same way about Travis.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he wasn't drinking or on that dope, he was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
But
he would get on that
bath salt. He would go crazy. He would get
mm-hmm.
drunk and talk out of his head. He'd go on these dope binges, this meth, this Adderall. I mean, whether it was pills,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it was pills,
mm-hmm.
powder,
mm-hmm.
or something to smoke, he would do it. And he would,
mm-hmm.
he's been to the hospital. He'd been to the hospital several times just
mm-hmm.
4 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. He went to the hospital, rushed, had an overdose. Then they had to revive him, had to shoot him up with epinephrine and every goddamn thing else to keep his heart going, and finally, they finally got
mm-hmm.
it out of his system, but he didn't learn his
mm-hmm.
lesson. Didn't learn his lesson then.
They,
So I mean, what
they
are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? You can't do a damn thing for them if they don't want you doing a damn thing.
Exactly. It's like my.
But we
my
wouldn't have the problem. But we wouldn't have this problem. Damn government would do its fucking job like they promised to do and get this shit off the fucking streets like they can do. They can do it.
But it's back
they
want to
come in people's homes. They want to come in people's homes, in honest, decent, law-abiding citizens' homes, and they want to take your guns, but they don't want to do a goddamn thing about this fucking poison on the streets. And that's bullshit.
Exactly.
It's fucking bullshit.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's not just us. Everybody I talk to all over the country, they tell me the same stories. They're going through the same things with their family members. Same exact thing. And it's like...
And you think,
I tell,
you think
know,
COVID is dropping people? You think this COVID-19 bullshit is dropping people? This ain't got shit. This ain't got shit. Add up the last 2 years of methamphetamine and fentanyl and opioid deaths in the United States of America, and I goddamn guarantee you, you will surpass COVID-19 bullshit statistics hands down. But no. Do we call for a shutdown? Do we call for masks to be worn? Are we sending the cops? No, we're sending the cops in churches to shut churches down. We're limiting events we can have. They don't even want you to have barbecues with more than 10 people in your fucking backyard, and then they got to stay 6 foot apart.
Yeah.
You know, you got yard police now. And all of this. But are they going out there on them fucking corners and rattling these fucking drug dealers and turning them upside down and getting this poison off the street? Fuck no.
And, you know, every day you'll hear, and I'm being truthful on this, here in New Mexico, every day you'll hear all you need is someone died of a drug overdose. Just heard it just about an hour before we got on the show. They found some person dead here on 314. Just not too far from my house.
I mean, goddamn. They're selling epinephrine kits online for you to keep on you in case you see somebody ODing on the fucking street. You can save their lives. Epinephrine kits to give people a shot in the heart. Now, you know, where's the COVID-19 kit, you know, to vaccinate each other, you know, when somebody sneezes or you load it, you know, they can make a tranquilizer cartridge you can load in your AR-15, then they can find a use for it, you know, and we can shoot each other in the ass with vaccine with our AR-15s.
Right. And Russell, I mean... what's it like in Texas? I mean, I hear all kinds of things going on over there.
Well, look.
I mean,
you know,
is it that bad?
You've got to be realistic. You have to be realistic, and you have to understand how this works. Ronald Reagan started the war on drugs. I spent a ton of time in various places doing exactly that. But you've got to understand, you're not going to stop it.
Mm-mm.
You're not.
Mm-mm.
For one thing, if every market, people are going to find a way to get it there. Two, you can pass any law you want to pass, but you're not going to stop the greed. And the people and the police department and I can go on and on that are involved in this. These guys are getting paid big by these suppliers to make sure that their stuff's not messed with. And
oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, you may catch a big fish. But I promise you, somebody's going to step right into his place. As long as people want to do it, these people will find a way to get it to them. Okay.
That's well, that's the point. That's the point, Russell. Okay. You know, we Ronald Reagan declared war on drugs. Okay, let's fight it like a real war. Let's stop giving these motherfuckers trials and free lawyers and all of that shit. And when we catch them, put them in a POW camp or fucking execute them like they did at Nuremberg. I goddamn guarantee you, you bring back the fucking public executions. You put fucking executions on the 50-yard line in Tiger Stadium and sell tickets on pre-per-view and sell tickets to a live audience. I goddamn guarantee you, when they see a son of a bitch get hit by a firing squad or get strung up with a rope, I guarantee you they're going to think twice about wanting to sell dope. They're going to grab an application and go to work at Burger King.
And who's going to do that? That's the DEA?
No.
Which is
the DEA. Any agency involved with the alphabet, you can forget about. You can forget about. They're compromised. They're corrupt. They're dirty. They'll take money under the table to fucking cut their own mama's throat and eat cornflakes out of the bitch's skull. Okay? We all know this. We know that Burisma. They're not an energy company. They don't sell a bit of fucking energy. What they are is a laundromat. They're a laundromat for Afghan heroin sales to the United States and to everything, to Russia. That's why Russia wants to go in and fucking put an end to that shit. But people don't look behind it. They look at Russia like, oh, they're all bad. They just want communism back. No. They want to shut this fucking shit down because it's in their society, too. It's in Europe's society. It's all over the place. You go to fucking places like fucking, like Holland, you know, Belgium, all them places. You walk the fucking back alleys of the street, there's fucking syringes, piles and garbage cans full of fucking used syringes from fucking heroin addicts. They pass out fucking new syringes. They do it in L.A. They do it in Chicago. They do it in New York.
Go to downtown Albuquerque. That's a park over there. You'll see all kinds of needles and syringes down there. Guarantee it.
Well, look, you know, while I agree that this shit's poison and needs to be done with, we have to be real and realize we're not going to stop it. All right? We've all lost somebody close at one point in our life or another to us, to that. two of the three brothers that were my best friends growing up, two of them died of heroin overdoses. They had, one of them was a psychologist, and the other one was a big executive for a major coffee company. So, you know, you're not going to stop it. You're just not. And to think you are and to do this, that, one thing or another, you're not. You know, you're just not going to stop it.
That's what me and Virgil said earlier. We were talking.
But, you know, it's just sad that families ripped apart.
You can put a dent in it. You can put a hell of a dent in it, though, Russell. You can put a hell of a dent in it, brother. You can put a hell of a dent in it. Because I'm going to tell you what, every one of them son of a bitches you catch, you fucking grease his ass selling that shit and leave him in the fucking street, well, you might be saving 20 lives.
Yeah, but, yeah, but look at the consequences.
But, you know,
you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison.
Well,
your family's going to be the best any of us can do at this point in time is try to set an example, to talk to people, stuff like that. If I see somebody out of the street slinging, I will say something. I will walk up to them and say something to them, you know. I got no problem doing that.
I talk to people. Parents need to be
closer to their kids, who they're running with.
Exactly.
There's a problem.
Your behavior reflects the company that you keep.
Exactly.
It always has. And Russell, this idea of mommy telling Junior, oh, I better not catch you doing this. Well, you're doing it, mommy. Well, do as I say and not as I do. That's not how you raise a kid.
Exactly.
You don't raise a kid and tell them don't do this while you're running cocaine lines mm-hmm. long as a number two pencil and just as big around and
mm-hmm.
doing it in one hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, in my case, my son got into the wrong crowd, you know, and everything. And so, you know, you guys know the story. I've been battling this for, 5 years now with him. And everything, but it's
I had a real good. I had a real good friend. Showed me something, and it really taught me about you really have to pay attention to what kind of example you're setting in everything you
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
He went over to his ex's house. You know, brought Easter basket and stuff like that. Helped the kids make her breakfast in bed and stuff, and took it in there, gave it to her with the kids and stuff. Anyway, I was talking to him later today. I go, hey, what the fuck are you still doing that shit for? You know what? He goes, we're divorced. He goes, but there's two young boys in that house. And how they
mm-hmm.
see me treat their mother, where we married or not, is going to be the example they follow on how they treat
exactly.
women.
Exactly. Right on point.
A lot of this problem is coming from what is known as the indoctrination syndrome of the pussification of American youth. They don't have the balls to say no. They don't have the balls to stay
mm-hmm.
up for themselves. They're being taught if they fight back, oh, they need counseling. They need to get put on Ritalin. They need to do this. They need to do that. And they're convincing
mm-hmm.
the parents
mm-hmm.
of this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Committing suicide because
mm-hmm.
they're getting bullied. They're getting bullied on TikTok and Snapchat and Twitter and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Committing suicide because somebody's typing a message on a fucking digital device, and they say, oh, my God, my life is over. Boom, they fucking kill themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, it hurts my heart. It's put a lot of strain on me, and because seeing my kid go through this and everything, but... I feel his pain because I know what he's going through. And it's just like, you know, they could blame me all they want to, but it's like, as a parent, you can only do so much. If they refuse to help, there's nothing you can do. Okay. When we were young, I did my thing, you know, back, and I'm
mm-hmm.
pretty sure we all did
mm-hmm.
our other thing. Okay. You know.
Yep.
We catch the lookers like Hurricane Ann back in the day, with her tie-dye tank top shirt on, her bell-bottom jeans
uh-huh.
that got keep on trucking patches and STP and all of that kind of stuff all on her bell-bottom jeans and stuff, and we strike up a conversation over a couple of corn dogs at the roller ring and some onion rings. And then, hey, I got a couple of fists of Boone's Farm Tickle Pink outside in my Chevy Good Times van. Let's get out of here and go party. Okay. Right then, you know, you put on some Skinner on the 8-track. you know, let her get a couple of glass, get a couple of swigs in her, all of this. You break out, you know, you always invited the zigzag man to that type of party. You break out a couple of numbers, okay. And then you grab, uh-huh. then you grab the 8-track, you grab the 8-track tape that you preset on Proco Harum's Whiter Shade of Pale. You put that in there, mm-hmm. and you're in the mix. You got it hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was our mm-hmm. form of entertainment. Not going to mm-hmm. some fucking place where there's fucking goddamn, God knows, a fucking GHB date drape rug. Ecstasy, all that mm-hmm. fucking bullshit at a party, mm-hmm. so you can get a broad all messed up, and you can take her in the back room somewhere, and you can rape her. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not supposed to be that way, guys. It's not supposed
nope.
to be that way, and it's not supposed. And you young ladies out there that are listening to this, let me tell you something. All right, this is a fact. You got the pussy, you make the rules. Okay? Remember that. You got the pussy, you make the fucking rules. No means no.
Right.
All right? You worth more. You are worth more than a lot of these punks out here that don't have nothing about themselves. You know, mm-hmm. when we were growing up, our GoFundMe was a push mower. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got guys out there, they dressing up in these knockoff fucking NBA shit, gold chains, and all this hip-hop shit, and they can't even figure out how to put fucking gas in a lawnmower. Find you somebody that's about something. You know how you test if a guy is worth a shit? Give him an axe and tell him to go out back and split wood. But put 911, you know, put an ambulance on standby, because in case he's a stupid son of a bitch, he's going to the hospital because he's going to put that axe in his leg.
Or he's going to cut his toes off, one of the two. That's true. You're 100% correct, Marco. I mean, you know, yeah, we did stuff when we were kids, you know, but we didn't do that kind of stupid stuff.
I'm gonna tell the ladies out there a good sign of a good man. When he comes to pick you up for a date in his pickup truck, and he says, "Oh, wait a minute," and he's got to reach over on that passenger side floorboard and pick up a set of work boots and put them in the center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a pair of steel-toed work boots. That's old, damn near worn out Red Wings. Okay, that's
mm-hmm.
that's your number one sign that you got a man. You don't have a boy.
Mhm. Mhm.
Exactly. You know, and I see this all the time. I mean, I hear women complaining, "Oh my God, I got to babysit this dude and this and that." Well, you know.
Russell deals with this shit.
Shit.
Let me tell you something. If you want an expert on a man, go ask Russell. Tell him to take you out in the field with him, and you will learn the difference between the men and the boys, because his job mm-hmm. separates the men from the boys. They got to go out and wade waist deep in the nastiest fucking shit surveying out there, and you got guys that'll stick the toe of their shoe in the water and go, "Ew, no, I ain't going in there."
Right.
I've got two girls working for me. One of the party chief, she's probably maybe 27 now. And then I got a young one. She's my eye man. She's 22. And she's 5 foot nothing tall, little Latino girl. The other one's a cracker. And let me tell you, I'd put either one of those up against 9 out of 10 of the millennial males I meet.
All right, you see, now, guys, that's the girls you want. Guys, that's the girls you want. If you want a side-by-side or a four-wheeler, you know, you throw the ice chest on the back rack, put a 12-pack in there, say, baby, jump on the back and hit the mud with her, and she'll have the time of her life, and you'll be the man of her dreams.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about women in Louisiana. If you want to get a woman, a good woman in Louisiana, hook your boat to your truck about 4 o'clock in the evening during frog hunting season and say, go up to a bunch of women and say, who wants to come frog hunting with me? The ones that jump in that boat and in that truck with you, that's the women you want. That's the women you want. I'll tell you what.
Yep.
One of my best friend's wives, they fell in love on a frog hunt. They fell in love, literally.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Marshall. His wife is Deanna. And I tell you what. This blonde hair, blue-eyed bombshell of a woman, and I'll send you a picture of it if you want. She is drop-dead gorgeous. I'm talking about drop-dead gorgeous. She will not only ride in the boat, she will get on the front of the boat, and she will catch the damn frog. And she's damn good at it.
Damn. Wow.
I've seen videos of this broad elbows and assholes bent over the front end of a bateau boat grabbing a big old bullfrog. And don't hesitate either. There is no hesitation either. Once that boat gets within arm's reach of that frog, that's it. That sumbitch is as good as in the grease.
Okay.
Right. Damn. But now with his drugs and everything, I tell you, man, it's ripping this country apart, ripping families apart. And like I said, I talked to numerous families all over that's going through the same thing, and it's like, for like you and me, Virgil, it's like people don't understand our heartaches and what we go through. And it's like, you know, you want to talk to somebody, but you don't. You just want to keep to yourself. I'm not, you know, but I deal with it. I know it's
bottom line and the root problem. No. The root of the problem is this. Parents, teachers, and everyone else that are supposed to be the leadership figures of these kids, they forgot to teach the difference between fantasy and reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Reality is a cold, hard thing to face. It's like I tell everybody, you know, the Bible says the Bible is a good book, but it does have some defects in it. Okay, and one of the defects is the scripture that says the truth shall set you free. Well, what they ought to have under that scripture in parentheses say, well, yes, the truth will set you free, but if you tell the truth about other people, it's going to piss a bunch of people off and give them the red ass at you.
Yeah. That it does.
The truth of the matter is, if you are a young kid and somebody is trying to push this poison on you, okay, if you don't have the courage to say no, have the courage to take off running and tell somebody. If you are a grown-up adult and you are doing this stuff and you know you're doing it, you know you're killing yourself, you know this stuff is poison, you know it's killing other people, okay, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot have too much sympathy for somebody, a grown person, 30, 40, 50 years old, that's doing this stuff and causes their own death by doing this stuff. Not when I have watched young men plead, cry for their lives, cry for their mamas. You know, I mean, anybody out there who has ever put a torso tourniquet on a Marine, this is it's a life-saving device, but it's also a torture device. All right. A torso tourniquet goes over the legs. It goes up when the arteries are crushed, but a person is pinned and the circulation has stopped below their waist. You have to get this torso tourniquet
on there, and
it's got 32 straps on it, and you have to pull these straps tight. And as you're pulling these straps, this person is screaming bloody murder. They are screaming. But it's got to be put on before you take whatever's impacting, you know, the circulation to their system until they can get to the hospital and they can determine if they can repair the damage, they can amputate his legs and patch up and get the circulation restarted. A lot of times, 4 out of 10 times, there's nothing they can do but other than loosen the torso tourniquet and let that person bleed to death right in front of their eyes. Now, until you see these young kids, this kid that's not much older than you, that's not much younger than you, begging and pleading, please don't let me die, please don't let me die. Tell my wife I love her. Oh, I've got a new daughter. I've never seen her before, and this, that, and the other. That's what tears your heart up. And to this day, I still have sympathy. I still cry for those guys, okay? But I'm not going to cry for somebody who sits there and does fentanyl and methamphetamine and blows their heart up or opioids to where they just convulse and go in, you know, older people that can say no, that know better. I'm sorry, but I can feel some sympathy for their family, but hey, if you want to take the needle in the spoon and you want to ride that highway to hell and then climbing the stairway to heaven, that's your problem, brother. That's your problem.
What I don't understand, and it is torturing, Russ Virgil, to see, you know, it's I know it tortures you to see your grandson go through it. It's torturing me to see my son go through it. And the people don't understand the emotional effect it has on us, on me and you.
The torture in all of this is what I'm going through. If you would ever meet my daughter-in-law, Belinda, you will never meet a finer, friendly, more caring and loving person than Belinda. And what she is going through, the anger, the confusion, the frustration, the asking, you know, blaming God, blaming me, blaming this one, blaming it on the dog. You know, I mean, she's going crazy over this, and I understand it, and I try not to lose my cool with her. But that's the torture right there. That's the torture right there. Is watching a mother having to face the reality of burying their own child behind this poison, behind this stupidity.
And you know, and I'll be honest, this is true me as well, because as a parent, I can relate, because I'm waiting for that phone call. That's a phone call you don't want. You don't want that phone call, 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, whatever.
This is really going to thrill you, Russell. This is really going to thrill you. To show you how stupid and incompetent and cold-hearted the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office is. They got a hold of Travis's phone, and they figured out who his mother was on the phone. They used his phone to call her at work. They didn't know whether this woman was driving. They didn't know whether she was in the tub. They didn't know where or what she was doing. They called her up on her phone at work at Tiger Truck Stop and told her that they found her son dead.
Wow.
We had to go over there and pick her up off of the floor because she was hollering and screaming, no, 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 no. Instead of calling the Iberville Parish Sheriff's Office and getting information on her and trying to and asking them if they could go find her and if they could tell her in person and in private or whatever, you know. I mean, you know, if she'd have been driving a car, she'd have wrecked that car. She'd kill herself when she got
that
news.
Else.
Yep. Possibly somebody else. You're goddamn right, Russell. Well, a lawsuit don't bring back nobody's life. You know?
No, it don't. It don't. It don't. And you know, it's just, it does. It's just, you know, I've talked to Congress people. I've talked to, you know, everybody that I could, you know, and they can't do anything and stuff. But, you know, they know, and they can't do anything about it. You know, because our hands are tied. The cops can't do anything. You know, unless they want the help, they have to have the help.
You know, and plus with all the bullshit, plus with all the bullshit's going on, you know, it might take you 10 years for somebody to even collect less than a stimulus check out of the shit after the lawyers get through taking their bites out of it. You know. I guarantee you, if Marjorie Greene walked through the halls of Congress and saw Alexis Cortez walking past her and looked back and whistled at her and said, you know what, you sure are a stupid bitch, but you sure got a nice ass, I bet she'd have a lawsuit put against her.
Well, speaking of Marjorie Greene, I got a surprise for everybody. We're going to have her on the show, talk to her today, and we're going to work around her schedule. As soon as they give me a time and date, I'll put that on the show and everything. But as you know, she is a good friend of mine. She's been on this show before she even became a congresswoman and everything. And I tell you, you know, she's a fighter. She's a fighter, but I'm going to have Matt McGregor on the show Friday night. We're going to do the show Friday night and everything.
Russell and I are going to put the coals to her. We're going to put the hot iron to her side, and we're going to demand that she ban ice from the United States because of the wreck that happened on I-35 during the ice storm and killed 6 people. We're going to demand a ban on ice on the road.
Well, hey, you know, we're going to have the entire media outlet on this show when we get her, because you know they're going to be glued to the show when we have her on here. So, but
I'm going to try and behave myself. I can't be responsible for Russell, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try.
Well, he remembers Russell.
I got a question. Why are we still bringing politicians on here? Are you still hanging around with the people believing that we're gonna have some kind of great election turnaround?
No, we're just bringing some old friends on the show, and, you know, talk about, we're just going to, you know, it's just something I wanted to do for a while and everything, but it's just something that I think, you know, have Marjorie on the show and her being where she's at, we can ask the questions that people are afraid to ask.
Well, Russell, in Marjorie's defense, all right, this woman has put up with just about as much abuse as Trump did in his first 100 days in office, okay? And she is still swinging. She has not knuckled down. When they kicked her off them committees and started with all of that QAnon shit and all of this, and I thought, I say, oh my God, she's gonna back down. She's gonna knuckle under. They're gonna burn her out really quick. Well, how wrong I was. How wrong I was.
Well, I told you.
This woman. This woman's tough. She's a tough broad.
I know Marjorie very well. And I told you, if you remember, you this woman, you don't
and
know.
And on her great state, on the great state of Georgia, passing these election reform things, okay, that's being called racist. Oh, my God, racist. Because black people don't know where the motor vehicle office is. Black people don't have driver's license. Okay? FYI, correction, I'm calling you on that, okay? I work in the trucking industry. I work in the bulk liquid tanker division of the trucking industry in this United States. And I can honestly tell you, that 70% of your tanker liquid bulk drivers pulling both hazardous material and non-hazardous, 70% are black drivers. So we've got 100,000, maybe a couple million black drivers out there running 18-wheelers with chemicals in them up and down the highway with no driver's license. Mm-hmm. No driver's license, Russell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, did you hear about the newest one, guys? I was just reading an article.
Wait a minute, Joseph. Just get this picture, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, bros and hoes, okay? That is 70% of all tanker drivers in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But you...
Look it up.
You want to know what's racist now, guys? You're going to laugh. You know what the cancel culture is after now? I'm just reading it. Forest evergreen trees are now considered racist because of the whites. I was just
That's another federalist.
Go on the
federalist.
You guys did hear the FBI come out with their stance on the vax cards, which we told y'all were coming, which will be here. Now, this is the same FBI that couldn't find any criminality in Hillary's emails, Uranium One, Epstein's girlfriend, Giselle's, Hunter Biden's laptop. Nothing there, whatever. But they have vowed that they will come hard after anybody falsifying a vax card. Right around the corner. And one other thing. They're now passing laws, or attempting to, let me put it like that. They are now laws that would make anyone that speaks out against politician, agency or whatever, that sort of matter, that is considered domestic terrorism now. Or it will be.
Oh yeah, Obama. That's leftover legislation. That's back burner legislation from the Obama administration. Oh yes, he tried that. He tried that one.
Yep.
Yes. You know.
Yep, it's kind of,
he
We predicted this with the passports. We said it was coming, and they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying.
Well, on this racism thing, Russell, I think we ought to get Marjorie, you know, to push for a constitutional amendment that if they're going to force us to become less white, they have to leave one white boy, full-blooded white boy, available to play that funky music. I want a constitutional amendment on that.
You mean a gender-neutral Caucasian?
A gender-neutral Caucasian to play that funky music. That's exactly what I'm going to ask.
Yep. So get your questions ready in there. I'll let you know when she comes on. But
Russell, you know, whichever way the election goes, which you and I both know the way it's going to go. Whichever way this goes, and if you're listening out there, Marjorie, I have all the respect in the world for you. You know, you have fought, you know, even though they went low, you have fought, you knuckled down, you put yourself in a corner, but you came swinging and you came out a bunch of times. You know, to me, you know, she is the Ronda Rousey of Congress, and I'm going to call her that.
And, you know, but we're going to have fun with her on the show and everything. So, but beware, we're going to have the entire media on this show, I guarantee it, and everything. So, it's going to be like when we
Trust me. I'm going to tell her. I'm going to say, Marjorie, I just got to say one thing to somebody, and then we can get on with the show. Fredo, you broke my heart. You broke my heart, Fredo. You know who I'm talking about. CNN, Fredo, you broke my heart. And I bet she's going to get a kick out of that.
Probably, you know. But I tell you, no, with this drug addictions and stuff, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, I wish that something could be done, but we can't.
It's one of those situations. You know, bottom line, Joseph, I'm going to say this, and I got to get back on the road. Okay, it's one of those situations that needs to get disinvented and unfucked ASAP because it's killing people. It's murdering
people.
We got
a caller, brother. Yep, we got a caller, so.
Okay,
caller, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is Wendy. I've had my issues. I'm up here in Portland, Oregon, and I had some problems when I was younger, and I got mixed up into drugs as well. I just feel that it's permanently damaged it permanently damaged me, and so now I live with my mom. And I was in Jink. Have you heard of a drug called Jinkum?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I did that, and it just left me very, very intoxicated, and I just felt really, really bad about myself. And at one point, I heard that you could commit suicide by drinking water, and it didn't work. But I like you listening to your show. I love the Wolverines. And your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Wolverines to me are just amazing. And I listen to you guys all the time. I now have to go to doctors because now I have severe syndrome where I constantly catch myself masturbating uncontrollably.
Okay.
Sometimes
okay.
I do that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Got one of them.
Okay. Okay.
Word caller.
Oh, yeah. We got another one of them callers.
I'm masturbating
all
over my mom's bedroom, and I masturbate all over the place.
Well.
Good God.
Well, caller, I hope you don't beat yourself to death. Go ahead and cut him off.
All right. I did. But the thing is, we're being serious about the drugs and everything. I mean, this guy calling in like that is an insult, but... You know,
well,
I have a sense.
He insulted himself. He insulted himself by showing his ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandpa
exactly.
taught me a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, taught me a long time ago when I was a little kid. A lot of times it's best just to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're stupid instead of running off at the mouth and showing everybody how stupid you really are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, with that, Joseph, I'm going to say good night. I'm going to say good night to the audience. Good night to all of y'all. Thank y'all. I appreciate your condolences for my grandson, the bottom of my heart, and the entire family. God bless y'all, and we hope you never have to go through anything like this again. And if you see something, say something. If it takes you, you know, intervening in someone's life to stop this, then do it. You know, you won't regret it. But if you don't do it, you will regret it. And with that, I'm going to tell my brother Russell good night. To my friend up in Colorado, Nikki Curran, good fight, girl. Hope all the best for you. You know, you look like you're getting your life together, back on track and everything. You know, love you to death, girl. And Semper Fi, and good night, Chesty, wherever you are. I'm gone, people.
That's right.
Honky Kong,
night,
Honky Kong out.
We're going to be back here tomorrow night and everything. And if you guys want, call back tomorrow night, and I'll take your calls tomorrow and everything. So we'll be back here tomorrow night, same place, same channel. And Roger, be careful out there on the road, brother, and we'll see you all soon. So good night, everyone, and have a safe night.